As you're seated, if you'll take out your Bible and turn to Genesis 25, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 18 this evening. As you're turning to Genesis 25, I noticed that that this was maybe one of my darker titles of my sermon that I've preached, Breathing One's Last, but that's actually from the text. And so this is how Moses is describing the end of both the life of Abraham and the life of Ishmael, that they're breathing their last. And that's really what we're looking at in large part this evening. So Genesis 25, starting in verse 1, Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Dedan were Ashuram, Lethaim, and Lumimim. The sons of Midian were Epher, Hanak, Abada, and Elda. All these were the children of Keturah. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts, and while he was still living, he sent them away from his own son, Isaac, eastward to the east country. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field that Abraham purchased from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with Sarah his wife. After the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac his son, and Isaac settled at Beer Lahairoi. These are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's servant, bore to Abraham. These are the names of the son of Ishmael, named in the order of their birth: Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael, and Kedar, Adbeel, Mitzam, and Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tema, Jatar, Naphish, and Kadima. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are the names by their villages and by their encampments, 12 princes according to their tribes. These are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. He breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. They settled from Havia to Shur, which is opposite Egypt in the direction of Assyria. He settled over against all his kinsmen. So we've been away from the book of Genesis for a couple of weeks. If you remember when we were last here, Isaac had just married Rebekah. The end of chapter 24 has this closing line. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And it, in some ways, becomes a segue into chapter 25, that Isaac is now settled, that Isaac has fully and finally received comfort from the death of his mother, which brings us to the death of his father. And so tonight we come to the end of the life of Abraham. And if you think about this, we've been in the life of Abraham for quite a while. As far as the text is concerned, we began looking at the life of Abraham back in Genesis 11. And the storyline from Genesis 11 through Genesis 25 is solely the life of Abraham. If you think about it in terms of just the amount of time that we've been here, that would take us back 7 months. So we began the life of Abraham in the middle of April. Now, granted, there's been times where we weren't always preaching, I wasn't always here, but roughly we've probably had 6 months of sermons on the life of Abraham. And tonight those come to an end. And now we want to look at this text using 2 points. First, promises and progeny, and then second, death and departure. So promises and really dealing with the offspring, the progeny of Abraham. And then second, death and departure. When you get to a text like we have tonight, you can get to the text and you say, that's a little blah. It's genealogies. It's obituaries. Then you come to the text and you go, okay, it's part of the reading plan. It's part of the preaching order. But on the surface, I'm not sure that this is a text that we naturally come to and say, I'm excited to hear a sermon on genealogies and obituaries. I've received lots of input over the years. Never has that been part of the input that I've been given. Pastor, you are not preaching enough genealogies. Could we have an Advent series on genealogies? Would it be possible to design a reading plan around the obituaries and genealogies of God's word? No. I mean, that's not happening. But that's our text. It's ordinary. Whether it's genealogies or obituaries, it's talking about where Isaac is going to live. It's talking about a burial site. But I think in an ordinary text, especially this ordinary text, there is so much that is flying underneath the radar. There's so much involved in the text. But I'm slightly getting ahead of myself. The text begins by telling us that after the death of Sarah, well, it doesn't say that, but it implies it, that Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. Now, there is debate on whether this happened while Sarah was alive or not. I personally think it's after Sarah had died. There is no indication that we can tell from the text. I cannot preach authoritatively one way or another. The text doesn't tell. It seems to read that it's after the death of Sarah. If it's after the death of Sarah, you're talking about a marriage of about 35 to 38 years. We do know that this marriage results in the birth of 6 sons. But it's interesting that you have Abraham fathering Ishmael. We already looked at that. Now he's fathering these 6 sons with Keturah. But in the text, we are told specifically that Abraham makes sure that when it's all said and done, there's just one. Ishmael has already been sent away. And here we read, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts, and while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Isaac. There is one son of promise. And Abraham is painstakingly making sure that everybody knows that there is one son of promise. That the son that God had promised will remain in the land and none others. He is making sure everybody knows that it's through Isaac that the great promises of God would come to fruition. And this text, even though I painted it as a text of genealogies and obituaries. My title of my first point isn't obituaries and genealogies. Part of it is, progeny is the genealogy, but my point is promises. And I'm sure you're thinking, Pastor, I don't see it. Well, let's take a step back from our text and remind ourselves where we've been in the life of Abraham. Genesis 13, 16 says, I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth so that no one can count the dust of, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Genesis 15, 5. And he brought him outside and said, look towards heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Genesis 17, 2. So I make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. 17:8, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. 22:17, and I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. The full-time promise is going to be fulfilled, not necessarily in the names that are listed here, but this is part of the fulfillment of the promise of God, that from these individual nations come into existence. That beginning with these sons of Abraham, you already have part of the fulfillment of what God has said. That Abraham is going to, in the New Testament, he's the father of all the faithful. But he's also the father of nations. Some question whether Abraham married Keturah before or after Sarah. And part of the reason why they think that Abraham was married to Keturah prior to the death of Sarah is they question how Abraham could have six sons with her when he is, in essence, about 140 years old. But it's interesting. In Genesis 17:6, it says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Have you ever stumbled over that before? Exceedingly fruitful. Two sons. Or were there six more when he was very old? I tend to think that there were six more when he was very old. As part of the promise of God that he would make him exceedingly fruitful. But this text also deals with the promises of God even to those that are outside of the elect line. God had made a promise both to Abraham and to Hagar that God would bless Ishmael because of his father. And that 12 princes would come from him. We read about this in Genesis 16. In Genesis 17. Genesis 17 specifically says, he shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. Our text from tonight specifically says, these are the sons, names of the sons of Ishmael, named in the order of their birth, gives all of their names, and it says, by the time it, and by their encampments, 12 princes according to their tribes. God kept his promise with regard to Ishmael. But there, when it's talking about the death of Abraham, it says, Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Genesis 15, God had said to Abraham, As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age. What Moses is wanting you as the reader to know and understand is exactly where we began this morning. That God's steadfast love and faithfulness endure forever. Psalm 117 and Psalm 118. That God is a God of promise. That God keeps his promises. That the saints of God are forever secure until the moment that they breathe their last. That God is faithful. And I think sometimes we read over these type of texts and we forget some of that substance that we're supposed to see. This isn't obituaries and genealogies. This is a catalog of promises that are supposed to reinforce our trust in our God. And the idea is we read this and say, if God was faithful to Abraham, God will also be faithful to me to uphold and keep every promise that he has made in his word. And the sense is that we are to live like Abraham by faith, trusting in the God of promise. The second thing we want to look at tonight is the idea of death and departure, our second point. Our text for tonight talks about not just the death of Abraham, it also talks about the death of Ishmael. Verses 7 and 17 are very similar in how they read. They both contain the same three verbs, that they breathed out his last, they expired or breathed out, they died and were gathered to his people. It says the same thing about Abraham, and that is also spoken of Ishmael. Now, we just noted that Abraham had promised that he shall go to your fathers in peace and you shall be buried in a good old age. Our text says that he lived to 175 years and was full of years. Now, you can read full of years as a comment about quantity. I don't believe the text is telling us about quantity. I think it's telling us about quality. That he had a fullness in his life. That he lived a life of satisfaction. What I think the text is telling us is that Abraham lived in such a way that he fully appropriated God in his life. That's the teaching of Hebrews 11. That Abraham aged well because he aged in God. All of us know people that are not aging well. They're not a life that's full. It's not a life of satisfaction. And I think part of the text is saying, when you live in a way in which your eyes are focused fully on God, trusting in him, walking with him, that as you age, a fullness expands within. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. You don't just merely grow in years. I want to end tonight pausing to think about the phrase gathered to his people. It's a little bit morbid talking about death, but as you think about death, the reality is that we go through death alone. Yes, I understand we can go through death surrounded by people. But we go through the valley of the shadow of death alone. But the text says that after death he was gathered to his people. That's not burial. The text is not telling us that he was buried with his people. It's telling us that he was gathered to his people. It's talking about an afterlife. It's talking about an existence after death. We go through life alone. But we're resurrected to our people. And the text is telling us that there are two peoples that we can be gathered to. Abraham is gathered to his. Ishmael is gathered to his. That as we go through death and we come out on the other side, we will either be gathered with the people of God, or we'll be gathered with those that are opposed to God. And we'll spend eternity with one of our people, one group of people or the other. If we are a people of faith, if we are truly sons and daughters of Abraham, then we will be gathered to Abraham's people and will be gathered for an eternity of life and joy and fullness and delight, because we will be in communion with all of God's people as we're in the presence of God himself. But there's another gathering that's quite different, isn't it? Ishmael gathered to his people is not an eternity of delight and joy. It's a life of isolation, of sorrow. With a people and forever alone. Because there's nothing that connects them. It's a life of the eternal self. Gathered to his people. Calvin, writing on this, says, "I greatly embrace the opinion of those that believe that the state of our future life is contained in this expression." And then he goes on to speak of David in Psalm 49 saying that the reprobate are being gathered like sheep in the grave. There's kind of this weird idea that in the Old Testament they don't know of an afterlife. I don't know why that sticks around as a thought process. It just doesn't really faithfully embrace the teaching of the Old Testament. This text is teaching us about an afterlife, that after death we don't cease to exist. That resurrection opens up the prospect of fellowship for the child of God with Christ. When you read the text, it will tell us that Abraham lived to be 175 years and that Ishmael lived for 137 years. And we can read numbers in God's word and we just read over them. They don't mean anything to us. Okay, somebody lived 175 years. Somebody lived 137 years. Who cares? Why we should care is that the number of our years are numbered by God. No one ever dies too soon, and no one ever dies too late. They die according to the ordained will of God. The psalmist writes, O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. We sang from Psalm 90. In Psalm 90 it says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Psalm 139 says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Every day is known that we will live by God. He has numbered our days. And our text tonight is reminding us that Abraham's were numbered at 175 years. And Ishmael's were numbered at 137. And the sense of the scriptures is, have you measured your days? Have you recognized that in those days, decisions are made, choices are made, choices of whether my people are Abraham's people or Ishmael's. Choices of whether I will die with a fullness and a satisfaction. Or I die opposed to God and his people. He settled over against all his kinsmen. The text is telling us about two choices. Two ways of not only living, but two ways of dying. And I would encourage you to just take a moment to reread Hebrews 11 that deals so extensively with the life of Abraham. And it's really a call to say that I'm going to be a person of faith. I'm going to long and look to God like Abraham longed and looked to God. And die fully and freely in him alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in life and in death, may we truly trust in you. May we be able to say that my only comfort in life and death is that I belong body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, may it be that we are all those that have put our faith in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. May that undergird everything about who we are and how we live. That as we age in you, we age as those that are growing in grace, growing in our knowledge of you, so that whether we live to be old or whether we live to be young, that when we die, that we can say, and what can be said about us is we died with a fullness. We died as those that had wholly embraced you. And then when that day comes, we will be gathered not simply to our people, but we'll be gathered to you. Father, we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.